Nita Lowey is a Democrat of New York's 17th District. She's been in office since 1988. Seems like yesterday to me, but 1988, I guess that was a while ago, Congresswoman Lowey.
It sure is, but it's been an eventful time, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Alan.
And to you. As we speak, you're heading to Puerto Rico to survey the Puerto Rican devastation. And now we have the situation where Donald Trump has been talking about Puerto Rico. What do you make of it?
Well, it is our responsibility, frankly, as Americans, as citizens of the United States of America, to make sure that when our citizens are in difficulty, whether it is Texas or Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands, we have a responsibility. And the victims of recent disasters deserve certainty that the federal government will stand by them in their time of need. I'm pleased that the speaker asked me to visit Puerto Rico, to see the devastation firsthand, to meet with local officials and first responders. And today we're going to pass the first tranche of money. And I know how critical it is. So much has to be done to provide medium, long-term investments that played a critical role in helping recover from other crippling storms like Katrina and Sandy. So it's a matter of rebuilding ports, coastlines, airports, roads, bridges, repairing the electrical grid and other infrastructure, meeting the healthcare needs of American citizens. We don't still have water going to everyone. They don't have electricity. The grid is destroyed. So I look forward to going. I'm working closely with officials from Puerto Rico, as well as Representative Nidhi Velasquez and Joe Serrano, to help address this crisis. So,
well,
I hope that after we see the devastation, the Speaker and Chairman Frelinghuysen will work with me on a complete plan.
But it does seem that Donald Trump has been blaming the Puerto Ricans for their own situation in a way that other people who had been subjected to hurricanes and disasters haven't been subjected. Is that because, you know, Puerto Rico is a possession of the United States, doesn't have congressional representation?
Well, frankly, instead of sowing division, wasting time on tweeting about athletes or being so insensitive and throwing toilet paper to people and attacking the mayor of San Juan, the president must act to unify the American people and help American citizens that are at immediate risk.
But he hasn't. I've always respected you for not engaging in hyper-partisanship, but doesn't he deserve some comeuppance for this?
Of course, and he gets plenty of comeuppance among many people with whom I interact, and we'll have to see. I'm hoping there can be a change in the next election.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that. I was just about to go there. You know, with the gerrymandering that's going on in this country and the Republican state legislature's gerrymandering, is there a chance for the Democrats to take the House back?
Of course, we're going to take the House back. I am committed to getting the House back and getting the message out, getting people registered, ringing doorbells, speaking wherever we can. I am determined to getting the House back. And by the way, when we get the House back, I'll be chairperson of appropriations rather than ranking. Much rather be chair. You go into the room of the Appropriations Committee and you have all these men on the wall, not one woman.
Now, the Appropriations Committee, for those who may still not know, are the money giver outers. I remember a Republican congressman saying, I'll never be beaten, he was, because I'm an appropriator. That's how powerful the Appropriations Committee is.
Well, we'd like to think it's powerful, But maybe the president doesn't understand the division of power in this country. So I used to say when I got on appropriations, there are Democrats, Republicans, and appropriators. And we always worked in a bipartisan way. And I never give up. In fact, Chairman Frelinghuysen, a Republican from New Jersey, and I will be going on the plane with the speaker and with the Puerto Rican delegate. And I'm hoping that we can have a real good tour and a really good discussion and get to work and help people.
Well, you know, you make a very good point, Anita Loewy, and that is that this Congress has been characterized as being hyper-partisan. Do we not understand the way it really works?
Well, it doesn't always. It used to work that way. You notice I was careful to say when I got on appropriations, I used to say there were whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're an appropriator. It didn't matter. But unfortunately, you have a situation here where there's a lot of division among the Republicans. You have the Freedom Caucus, which is the far right group. And then you have the people in the middle who sometimes vote with us. And the others sit in the corner and worry about who's going to run after them if they take a bad vote. So it's not the bipartisan place it used to be.
How much of that do you lay at the speaker's door?
Oh, it's been that way for through the last few administrations. So I'd like to think that he had more power to speak truth to the Freedom Caucus, but they have their own mindset and their own views.
Now, assuming the Democrats take the House, if they do, then Nancy Pelosi will probably be the speaker. Is that something you approve of?
First of all, Nancy Pelosi has implemented a number of changes that have put Democrats in a position to succeed, including what she has done, expand the Democratic leadership team, which now includes Hakeem Jeffries. And she's provided opportunities for junior members to gain experiences into the working of the House committees. There is a direct election of the DCCC chair. And she has put together a good team to focus on a robust economic message tailored to the middle class. So I've always felt Nancy Pelosi is a skilled and effective leader. I have faith in her to lead the Democratic caucus and help retake the House in 2018. And after that, we'll see.
I think you've already answered the next question. I just want to make sure I got it right. You know, I have great respect for you, and I'm a 76-year-old myself, and I don't like it when people say, when am I going to retire? I don't. So what happens is there's a certain amount of age discrimination going on in this country. You know, some of our most important people, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, you know, are a little bit older now, but they're also a little bit wiser. So I take it when you said you would be the head appropriator that you're saying, I'm going to run again.
Of course I'm going to run again, and
sure.
I look forward to be the chair of the Appropriations Committee.
Right. So now, what about what I just said, which is that there is a certain amount of discrimination or people who just don't get it, that we can be productive citizens when we're a little bit older?
Well, I think the most important thing is for us to show leadership and earn the positions we have, and I've been very pleased to be elected chair, ranking member, and I look forward to being the chair. I was chair of the Foreign Operations Subcommittee. I look forward to being chair of the whole committee.
How important is it to be a chair? Do you have a lot of huge power? I mean, I know that when you're chairman of a committee, you're the one who sets the agenda.
Not only do you set the agenda as a chair, because actually, the agenda is really a group agenda. I work cooperatively with all my colleagues. And on appropriations, there are 12 subcommittees. So even though I hope to be the chair of the whole committee, I've always been very respectful and work cooperatively with the rankings and chairs of the subcommittees on appropriations.
Anita Loewy, we thank you for that wonderful discussion. I'm very much in favor of what you said. When we come back the next time, let's talk about some other stuff of substance.
Sure.